A few months ago, I was out with coworkers, and as you do sometimes, talking, and there's some drinks, and you're just eating and waiting on different things, you start getting into deeper topics, and we started discussing the origin of the Earth and the universe, and what is behind the entire scheme of things. It's amazing the confusion from otherwise intelligent people. You get suggestions such as I did in that conversation, I literally heard these things, that it's a simulation, that what we're living in is a simulation, that there is an infinite number of universes, that we live in a multiverse. It led me to start thinking of Romans 1. If you'd all turn with me to Romans 1, verse 20. Romans 1, verse 20. And I'm speaking with these people, and they're intelligent people, they're technology people, they're well-read people. And it led me to think of this scripture, Romans 1, 20 through 23. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. I think that's the scripture we all keep in our heads a lot. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. This is God being morphed and diluted into idols, into worshipped images, but the principle still stands. The people of this earth, my co-workers, and a lot of people just out and about nowadays, can clearly see the complexity that which we live in. That this existence is complex, right? But then, all at this existence, all at the complexity, but then attribute it to the ideas that are without God, and even weird or odd ideas, right? And it's made me think, why is the burden of proof focused mainly on the Bible? Why is the burden of proof focused mainly on the Bible? And I'll rephrase that a bit, because this ancient text that we all have in our hands, in our lab, since it actually gives pieces of information on how we are here, why we are here, and who did it, it's constantly put to the test, right? And you've heard these questions, you've researched them, you've seen evidence, questions posed such as, did God really create everything in a matter of days, in 6 days? What does the Bible say about evolution? Is the Bible compatible with evidence for a 13.8 billion year-old universe? How do we know Jesus existed? Was Jesus even a real person? Who wrote these scriptures, and how can we know that they're legitimate? These are interesting questions, right? Good questions, even. And there's so much to unpack in each of them. But I'm not doing that today. That's a whole topic on each one is a whole topic. What I want to do is turn the focus in the mirror on to man's modern answers and theories and take a hard look at them and put the burden of proof on the other direction. And for simplicity's sake, we're looking at science. And I hate to use the word science because it's simply just the study of the observation of the natural world. And that, coupled with the spiritual mindset, it reveals the amazing design that God has set before us. And certainly I want to qualify this. I'm not a scientist, so I'm very unqualified to speak on this matter. I'm barely qualified to speak on this matter. I was so good at college, it took me 5 years to get a 4-year degree. However, I'm an interested observer, and I think it's worth putting these things to test and to question. So, as I was sitting there hearing these answers from my coworkers and all these different things, I now want to put these things to test, and I want to look and dive into two instances in time and the modern explanations and understand that there's gaps. So these two instances are the origin of the universe and the origin of life. So we're not getting anything heavy today. It's just those two. So first, some pre-arguments. So how many of you have you heard of the perspective or the argument, the God of the gaps? It's a perspective that many detest because in research, in empirical science, when looking at all these different things, when looking at the advancements and saying, okay, there's not an answer that we have for this right now, it must be God. So that's a perspective that a lot of people detest, right? Because in time, they say, well, surely figure it out. Well, today, I am going to call these issues gaps. Because even in what I was been reading and was listening to, there's some researchers that are saying as more research comes about, the gaps seem to be widening for some cases. So we're going to talk about these gaps today. And first, with the universe. So research indicates a universe that is 13.8 billion years old. I mentioned that earlier on. You know, that's fine. I'm not here to comment on that today. I'm not here to comment on old Earth, young Earth, etc. That's a whole can of worms. But our first gap really is, what even is the universe? What even is the universe, as explained by modern-day scientists or philosophers? And I'll be citing a number of articles, and I'm purposely going to tell you the dates, so we know that these ideas are current. There are many theories what this existence, and I kind of alluded to some, what this existence is that we live in. And in an article from Andrew May, who's an astrophysicist, in 2021, he lays out 10. We're not going to go over all 10, but I'll just go over 5. So one of the theories is, number one, that the universe is expanding and it originated from a hot, dense state. So that is the Big Bang Theory, right? It's not the show. It's actually the most widely accepted in the scientific community. Number two, the universe is infinite, right? And continuously creating matter at a rapid state. So that's the steady state theory. So it's not expanding, but it's just infinite. Number three, that our universe is just one of several universes that are possibly still being created. And that's an interesting one to think about. That's the multiverse / eternal inflation theory. Number four, simulation theory. So this one, not necessarily brought about by the scientific community, but by philosophers, that in some way, that this is all an illusion. It's a simulation, if you've seen The Matrix. But wouldn't that require a programmer, right? If you have a simulation, if you have a design, if you have a video game, right, or something that you're creating that's a simulated event, usually you have the programmer. Well, one New York University professor says in an article written in February 2023, that programmer could just be living in the next universe up. And number five that I'll point to, much like simulation theory, is that existence, our very existence, and the universe is a hologram, a three-dimensional universe encoded on its two-dimensional boundary. So like a hologram projected onto a surface of a sphere. And that's just five. There's more, and these theories have offshoots, they have explanations, they have arguments within them, from us physically actually being here to theories on simulation. And I think that certainly constitutes that there's a gap on what this existence actually means and is, and what we're all doing here. The next gap, how did it start? So I won't comment on the simulation theories because you can see that one professor said, maybe it was a programmer from another universe up, right? But on the theories that are more Big Bang associated,
We'll comment on those. So, from an article in The Big Think, May 2022, if the origin of life is mysterious, the origin of the universe is infinitely more so. After all, the universe, by definition, includes all there is. How can everything come from nothing? I continue the quote. This problem is known in philosophy as the first cause. If the universe emerged by itself, it was caused by an uncaused cause. It kicked into existence without a source to precede it. And this is from an article that certainly did not have any religious bent at all. Physicists attempt to explain the nothing that existed, or the cause that kicked into existence, as this all happening within a quantum vacuum state. So I'm a very basic person. From my very basic understanding, this seems to me, from what the definitions I'm reading, again, not being a scientist, that this is as much as we physically can explain nothing, a quantum vacuum state. It's how much we can explain nothing is possible, if that even makes sense. So continuing in this article, this so-called nothing, the physicist's quantum vacuum, is far from the metaphysical notion of complete emptiness. In fact, the vacuum is an entity filled with activity, where particles emerge and disappear. And further in the article, to explain the origin of everything, we need a science capable of explaining itself and the origin of its laws. We need a meta-theory that explains the origin of theories. Again, the article is certainly not religiously angled, because it was challenging research, it was challenging science, and saying that science cannot start on the second page. And what they meant by that is, we have to explain the beginning empirically, guys. Because that jump from nothing to something, from non-physical to physical, is a massive gap. And a third gap: the amazing improbabilities of it all working out. Again, we'll dive into the most popular theory of the day for our universe, the Big Bang Theory, article from March 2023, The Spectator. Make a change in almost any of the slippery basic physical properties of the universe and we're toast. Life would not be possible. If, for example, the universe had expanded even slightly more slowly than it did after the Big Bang, it would have collapsed on itself. Result, no us. A fraction faster, and no galaxies would form, let alone habitable planets. So even when you take you're empirically viewing the theory of the Big Bang, that almost instantaneous expansion that occurred from that singular point, that somehow kicked off from nothing, that also needed to happen perfectly. And I'm not arguing that God doesn't utilize the physical properties, the natural laws that he created to make all things. I'm not arguing that at all. But what we're discussing and observing is those arguments where God isn't there. Simply impossible. And not only that, as I'm sure many of you are familiar, there are constants, fundamental universal constants in the universe. And they describe forces, they describe interactions, they describe particle properties, and they don't change, hence the name. They're constants. And some of you have heard of Planck's constant or the gravitational constant. And from an article in 2023, Science Alert, and I like the title, we're either suspiciously lucky or there really are many universes. And this is just from a few months ago. The conditions of the universe can be described through its fundamental constants, fixed quantities in nature, such as the gravitational constant or the speed of light. There are about 30 of these, representing the size and strengths of parameters such as particle masses, forces, or the universe's expansion. But our theories don't explain what values these constants should have. Instead, we have to measure them and plug in their values into our equations to accurately describe nature. And this is, that's the end of the quote. This is largely a reason why the multiverse theory is there. And in a way, it makes sense, because if this is so perfect, right, if it's so unlikely to happen, well, you probably needed trillions of trial and errors, right, to get to this point, and trillions of universes out there with different constants, with different gravitation, with different, all these different things to land on this point. Because these perfect conditions, they must have had an infinite number of trial and errors, and thus creating this reality that we all experience now. So let's take a pause and inject some scripture before we move on. Hebrews 11, if you turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. There's an amazing amount of wisdom, eternal wisdom, in that statement. That when we're just looking at those first gaps and pondering them, it's amazing how wise and timeless that statement, that this physical realm, time, space, everything we know, was created by the spiritual, was created by the things which we can't see. And that's the God of the gaps. That's what we're seeing here. Those are those gaps. Oh, we can't see it. We can't prove it. We don't know. Now, the origin of life. So the universe is vastly complex, and obviously we are too. So we'll start again with the modern explanations. And again, it's theories, and then we get into the gaps and confusions. So from an article from the University of Chicago in 2022, it lays out two theories. Number one, that life formed in a primordial soup. So if you don't think you matter now, just think of yourself as alphabet soup. This is from an experiment in the 50s. I think those guys' names were Miller and Urey, where early Earth was simulated, and they put all the ingredients, I don't have all the ingredients, that would have existed on the Earth at that time into a container, and they simulated lightning, some events that might have happened at that time as well. And they're trying to form amino acids, the building blocks of protein. And actually, they were successful in making some amino acids. Theory number two is that the Earth was seeded by comets and meteors. So those ingredients that were necessary to form those first molecules and then create life, that's the big question. Where did we get those from? Well, one of the theories is that comets and meteors just pelting the Earth or doing whatever they do to the Earth and seeding the planet with these ingredients from outer space, again, in the search for those amino acids. So from science.org, we went to science.org, the big boy for this one, in 2019, after things cooled down, simple organic molecules began to form under the blanket of hydrogen. Those molecules, some scientists think, eventually linked up to form RNA, a molecular player long credited as essential for life's dawn. So, organic molecules formed on this Earth from the conditions that were present at that time. That's my simplification of it. That's the Ryan simplification. Organic molecules formed on that Earth, on our Earth, not that Earth, from the conditions that were present at that time. There's very big issues here. Very big issues. And I'll be as general as I can, because as much as my language can't interpret or even appropriately communicate cosmology or physics, certainly can't explain chemistry. But there are big issues. And it's just the number one gap is, how did these molecules form? how in the world did these molecules form? As we dive in, you'll understand how absurd it is to think that they did. I would encourage anyone to listen to a discussion between Dr. William Lane Craig and Dr. Jim Tor on Origin of Life research. It actually went live about 10 days ago on the Capturing Christianity YouTube page. It's about an hour-long discussion, and the discussion focuses on the state of where Origin of Life research is. And the fact is, and the fact that they're trying to get across is that we're even farther from answers than we were decades ago, because they know more. You know, it's like that old saying, the more you know, the more complex something gets. And I'll be paraphrasing in parts of this conversation and quoting in parts, but it focuses heavily on explaining the research trying to recreate these molecules. That the building blocks of the building blocks for these molecules aren't even able to be created. From Dr. Jim Tor, who is a synthetic organic chemist. So his job is to try to synthetically, in a laboratory type setting, recreate these building blocks that make molecules. This is literally his job, and he's saying we've never been farther away. And I'll quote him, "We haven't even made the simplest cells. Of the about 15 components you need for the simplest of cells to work in a prebiotic sense, do you know how many have been made in a laboratory? Zero. None." End quote. So how can simple cells, well, these simple things that, you know, I think the general public, and they quoted in this discussion, that the general public has been pulled, and a lot of the general public thinks that, yeah, they can do these things, they can create cells, and even a portion of the general public thinks that they can create life, they can create frogs, they can create all these things. And Jim Tor is saying, we can't even create a simple cell and replicate it in the laboratory. But how do simple cells manage to do these things that humans can't in a laboratory setting? With all of our technology, all of our knowledge. So again, from the discussion, quote, "One of the ways is they have these enzymes, which are protein products that help run the mechanisms of the cell. But enzymes themselves are products of the nucleic acids, the DNA. In order for the DNA to function, you've got to have the enzymes. So you have a chicken and the egg situation, where in nature, in the prebiotic situation, there are no enzymes. But without enzymes, you can't have functioning biomolecules like DNA and RNA. It's that, as he mentioned, it's a vicious circularity. You can't have one without the other, but they need each other. So what happened first, right? And they go on about everything that they've learned about cells and molecules. The farther they get into the research, the farther away they get from actual empirical answers. That the simplest of these structures, they are in question if they can even be produced. Obviously, that's a massive gap. Like the universe argument. If life can't originate on its own, maybe we got to look at it a different way. Maybe a lot of us in the general public are, yeah, they got this. They're recreating these things in laboratories and in scientific communities. These theories are working. Maybe they don't. Got to be honest. Maybe they don't. But even if you move forward, right, and say, okay, the universe somehow sparked on its own, right? It was happened perfectly. The plants were created. You got this hot, dense, primordial soup, created life. All these chain of events, things happen. Then what? It's the next gap. And this one's not, I won't get into it as long. But how did chemistry turn into biology? Even if you have an early Earth environment, and somehow molecules form, that's life at the most basic level, how did these simple chemical reactions give rise to complex biological systems? There's no answer for that. It's obviously not understood. And it's one of the most significant gaps in origin of life research. And one thing I did find is there's a 2021 press release from the University of North Carolina, and it's titled, "How Did the Chaos of Chemicals Become Ordered Biology at the Dawn of Life on Earth?" And all the press release says is, we're looking into it. We dedicated $1 million to this group of scientists, and we're going to tell you how that goes. So, Genesis 1:1, if you will. If we'll turn to Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Doesn't sound so crazy, does it? And I didn't get into all of it. And I know this would be torn apart in a scientific argument that that's just oversimplification. But there's two purposes I have in bringing all this up. And number one, you have to have faith in something. You have to have faith in something. This faith that we have is required for us. We believe in God. We believe in His promises. We believe that this existence, that what we live in, was created by Him, that His attributes are seen, that love is around us, that there's purpose, that we didn't come from a Campbell's soup can, that there's something here. Hebrews 11, verse 1. I don't know, did we read this? Hebrews 11, verse 1. If we have, I apologize. And Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The evidence of things not seen. It requires a lot of humanly faith to believe that we're going to explain all of this on our own, because there's a lot of evidence, obvious, as we've laid out in just a short argument. There's a lot of evidence that's not seen. And you could choose to have faith in that or not have faith in it and go about blindly. And there's an infinite amount of questions we didn't even pose that sometimes get posed to believers. What is time? Was it created? When was time created? Why would life evolve in such a way that results to us? How is consciousness explained? There's tons of gaps and questions. And we don't want it to seem like it's science as pure logic versus blind faith in an old book. And reason number two, this design is complex. It's beautiful and it's masterful. And the designer, he cares for us. So this very existence that we live in, granted, is incomprehensible. It leads to thoughts like that in Psalm 8, if you would turn to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verse 3 through 5. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." When we consider the masterful complexity the design, the magnitude that is all around us. Why do you care about us, God? That's kind of what he's saying. Why do you consider us? But he does. And we're so small compared to the magnitude of what he created. But he cares. And considering the beauty and the amazing elements of our existence, he is still mindful of us. So I hope we can appreciate. God gives us answers. God gives us purpose. There's reason. Some require interpretation, meditation, and study. But boy, there is confusion and gaps when it comes to trying to explain all of this without him. God has created an amazing universe, and it's a wonderful blessing that he loves and cares for you and I.